What I like about math is that it's whatever, however you use it. If you just, you know, one plus two is three, it's mm-hmm. always three if whatever you use, apples, cars, cups, or tables, that is true.
Mm-hmm.
So if you just take out the tables and think about the math, mm-hmm. that is the idea. You gain the truth.
Yeah.
I think the same would apply to signs.
3, 2, 1.
Well, welcome to another episode of That Nerdy Catholic. I know it's been a long time since anything has been up on this channel, but a lot of thought has gone in the last 2 years about what to do, the direction of this channel, and honestly, you know, a lot of life has happened between then and now, and there was just a lot of things I've been working out in trying to figure out what direction I want this channel to go. I got to a point when I realized that if I just kept doing it by myself, I wasn't gonna put anything else up. And so I decided the best thing to do is bring in another nerd. And so
hey,
we have Cesar here.
Thank you.
We're going to put out another video where we're going to introduce Cesar and why he's now part of the Nerdy Catholic team. But Cesar and I have, first, Cesar is in my men's group. And so we meet every week and we pray together, and we've been going through a number of books together.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And get into some really deep, good, deep conversations about them. I mean, we read together. We probably read like 2 or 3 pages a week.
Yeah, a lot. And one of the things that we do is we think about, so many things, and we discover we are both attracted to science.
Mm-hmm.
So when Seth proposed me to start this new endeavor, I say, yeah, that's great. So I'm here. Yeah. Thank you, Seth.
Yeah. One little thing I want to share about Cesar before we start is we both live in this small town in Ohio, and we've both lived here for about 8 years, right?
That's right.
About 8 years. And Cesar moved here from Lima, Peru, and I spent a year living in Cusco, Peru. Well, the parish that we both go to mm-hmm. here is St. Rose of Lima. And so when we each moved here, that was kind of a sign to each of us that this was the right place for us to be.
Yeah, definitely, yes. It was a nice reminder of, when I saw the name of the parish, it was a nice reminder for my city when I was born. So I was attracted to it, and it started really good.
Well, we've had a number of discussions so far, kind of looking at the direction we want to take this show. And most of the things that we're going to be looking at are going to center around science and faith. And, you know, I think if you've watched any of the videos on this channel, that's been the general direction of the videos on here so far. But we talked about, you know, what do we want to focus more on, the science or the faith? And because our area of expertise is more in the area of the sciences, we thought that would be a better kind of angle to take on this question of science and faith. And so we're going to be going through a number of series. They're going to overlap each other. We'll probably do a few videos from one series and then move to another and then come back, you know, kind of like the way an ADD brain of mm-hmm. of a scientist or an engineer thinks and works. But this first series that we want to start, we want to look at math.
Mm-hmm.
And And the question that I've heard a number of people talk about is math real?
Mm-hmm.
And the next series we're looking at is more general, is science real? But this first series that we want to look at is math real. So Cesar, where do we want to start in this conversation of is math real?
So that is a very good question, because when I think about math, I think as a, I always have been thinking of math as a tool to solve, you know, scientific problems, whatever the nature of science this is. But then you have, when you ask me that question, is math real? The first question that came to my mind is, what is real?
Mm.
No. And to answer that question, maybe I got a little help of some friend more than 2,500 years ago, probably, Plato. He was the same, you know, this philosopher, he exactly thought about this question when he thought about the allegory of the cave, right?
Mm-hmm.
So today, I think if we start digging a little more about the allegory of the cave,
mm-hmm.
then we will have some more tools to answer, is math real or not?
Yeah.
No. So let's remember the allegory of the cave. No? When Plato thought about this, he thought about, you know, what about if there's a man that has been always in a cave, and behind this man, there's a fireplace. And the only thing he can do is, because for some reason he's tied up. I don't know why Plato imagined that he's tied up. So he can only see to one of the walls in the cave, no? So whatever happens behind him, he cannot see. But the advantage is that there's a fireplace behind him. And whatever figure passes in front of the fireplace, he can see the shadow of mm-hmm. that, no? So the only thing that this man can see is the shadows. And of course, he can hear, if there's somebody that is talking, he can hear that person talking. Or if there's an animal that is passing, and for example, a cat say meow, he can hear the meow, but he will see the shadow of a cat, no? So up to this point, Plato was asking himself, you know, things about what is real among our earth, no, our nature, no. When he sees a horse, he sees that one horse is different from the other, that, you know, one animal is different from the other, one tree is different from the other. But for some reason, we can identify what mm-hmm. is a tree, what is a horse. We can we can have an attribute of that, no.
Mm-hmm.
And when he say that, he said, well, at what point, you know, if a horse has not a leg, is that stop being a horse mm-hmm. or not? No. And he said that whatever is in this world is just a shadow of the world of the ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when he came to the explanation of the allegory of the cave. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. And what I like about the allegory of the cave, and this idea of and you know, the word that Plato used is the form
mm-hmm.
of anything, the form of a horse, the form of a table, the form of a chair.
Uh-huh.
On one level, that's a very philosophical idea.
Yeah.
But on another level, there's a part of that that's very common sense. You know, we all know that it's easy to tell if something is a horse or not.
Yes.
You know, no one's going to look at a horse and say, huh, now is that a dog or a cat or a horse? There's something that is very, you know, it's common to all of our experiences. And yeah, I think the interesting thing about the way Plato worked out the idea of the form is it almost feels like that's something that's been built into our brain.
Yeah.
Right, that of course you look at something and you're going to say you're going to want to categorize it. You want to say, well, what is that? You're not mm-hmm. you're not going to look at a field of 1,000 horses and say, oh, there are 1,000 different things out there.
Yes,
like, oh, there are 1,000 horses.
Yeah, no, that's true. I I think you are jumping in a little ahead, but that's right. Good because we are going to move further into the realm of, okay, what are the characteristics mm-hmm. of the ideal world and what are the characteristics mm-hmm. of the world of the senses? That, mm-hmm. But let's continue with the story okay. of the allegory of the all cave, right. And so in that position, so we get the man in the cave that he can only see whatever shadow it's in front of his. But then what happens if one day we release that man? No?
Mm-hmm.
So the first instinct will be okay. I'll turn around, and surprise, surprise, there's the fire, but there's a catch. The first time you see the fire with your naked eyes, it will kind of blaze your vision. It will mm-hmm. impair your vision at least for a moment, no, and because you are not used to see that, no. And then, if somebody helps this man and go outside the cave, he can see the real world.
Mm-hmm.
He will be able to see the sun. That again, the first time he saw he goes outside and see the sun, it's like blurring his vision. But then the eyes get used and he can see, you know, the nature and the beauty and everything like that. No? And that man, after seeing this, he will say like, "Wow, this is so great! I need to tell this to my friends in the cave." But again, if he goes back to his friends and starts saying this, they wouldn't believe it for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
They would say that you are crazy, that you are, you know, it's. And if somebody tries to get liberated, the first time he saw, you know, he see the fireplace there, he will be kind of blind.
Mm-hmm.
His eyes will hurt, and probably some of them, "Hey, you wanna hurt me?" And so they will hate them more, no, hate him mm-hmm. more. No, so I think this is the same effect that some people have or some people receive when somebody wants to tell them, "Hey, there's something more beyond your senses."
Mm-hmm. No?
And math is something like that. No, math is when you ask me that question about is math real, then what is real? No. So
mm-hmm.
there I want to go. I think we can discuss what are the characteristics of this ideal world, mm-hmm. the world of the ideas
mm-hmm.
versus the world of the senses.
No? Mm-hmm.
And we will discover that in the world of the ideas, everything is stays forever that way. No. The world of the senses.
There's a permanence to it.
Exactly.
Right,
there's
right.
a permanence to it.
Yeah.
On the other hand, the world of the senses is like it changes, it can mutate,
mm-hmm. it can evolve.
It can evolve, etc. Yeah. No? So the second thing is that ideas do not suffer corruption, mm-hmm. right? They are stable. And in our sensitive world, you know, everything, you know, it's born, grow, reproduce,
mm-hmm.
and then dies. No. Everything. No. Every living creature happens to that. And every non-living creature, you know, as we see this beautiful table right now, but it will get rusty and mm-hmm. deteriorate in time. No?
Mm-hmm. The wood will rot. The wood will disappear. And eventually it'll be gone.
Exactly, exactly, and that is the powerful message, you know, and that an idea stays there forever. The idea is, on the other hand, whatever is in the sensitive world, it passes away. It goes mm-hmm. away, you know, or it evolves, or it changes, or it deteriorates. Whatever happens, you know? So I don't know. If we think about math,
mm-hmm.
where would you put it
in yeah.
those two words?
Yeah, there's when I started thinking about this question, and you know, I've seen a number of videos on YouTube about this question, is math real? And it does seem to hinge on the fact that you know, as far as the side of saying, well, math can't be real, the question is, or the questions that are brought up are, well, can you see math? Can you measure math? Are there any experiments you can do on math? And all the questions on that side of the debate focus on this question, thinking about Plato's cave, of is this something that I can see right in front of me? You know, thinking about like the horses.
Uh-huh.
I can see a horse. I can say, oh, that's a horse. If I want to see math, I have to take a piece of paper, I have to write down an equation.
Yeah.
I have to put something out there mm-hmm. on a piece of paper or on a computer to say, oh, there's math. But even then, you know, I'm not looking at math. I'm looking at a picture of math, right?
Yes, exactly. And you got a good point. Let's remember how we start math as human beings, mm-hmm. right? So we start counting, you know, there's, mm-hmm. You got one cup, I have another cup, I have two cups, I need one apples, I got another apple, two, mm-hmm. three. So whatever we are counting the iterates, but the idea that I'm adding two apples to three apples, make mm-hmm. it five, the same of cup, of the same whatever, the idea yeah. remains the same. That means that math is belonging to this world of the ideas, if mm-hmm. we use the allegory of the cave like Plato.
Yeah.
It's immutable. Whatever we use math, the objects that we use to do math may deteriorate,
mm-hmm. no?
But math not.
Right.
So I think in that sense, math is even more real than the tangible things that we can see,
mm-hmm.
no? Because it spells what I like to say, it says the truth.
Mm-hmm.
In a more pure way,
mm-hmm.
right? So, if you and I are witness of something, let's imagine that we are on a trial and you and I are witnesses of something. I see something, but then when I communicate, I always put a little bit on my side.
Mm-hmm. No?
That's why the police wants to interrogate one more or two, three people to know the mm-hmm. truth behind. Because there's always some flavor or some things that somebody forgets,
yeah.
no?
Yeah, there's always an interpretation on what you're saying. I can't see anything through your eyes.
Uh-huh.
You can't see through my eyes.
Yes.
And also, I only see, and I only interpret what I see through my experiences and my understanding of the world.
Exactly.
Right? And so if I see... Well, a good example of that is, you know, remember a few years ago, there was an image that was going around the internet, and the question everyone was asking about this image is, well, here's a picture of a dress. Is this dress is either like blue and gold, uh-huh. or I can't remember what or there are two other colors like white and black or something,
uh-huh.
But here, there's a picture of something, and that is a dress. It was yeah. there. But some people looked at it and saw two colors,
uh-huh.
and other people looked at it and saw two other colors.
Uh-huh.
Well, what is that? You know, how can you have two different groups of people looking at the same picture and saying, "Oh no, it's these colors." Oh no, no, it's these colors. Right?
Yes.
That's looking through. Not as many much of your experiences, but you know, we have two different lenses that people are looking through.
Yes, and that is why we start this conversation on what is real, and this is why you get exactly to the point. This is why we wanna start with what is real, because there's the other thing, as you say, that is perception.
Mm-hmm.
And perception brings your interpretation, ergo brings your worldview
mm-hmm.
into what you are doing, you are observing, mm-hmm. or even the results you are concluding, right?
Yeah.
So in the pursuit of the truth, which is, you know, when we talk about real, we talk about true things. No, what is the true nature of something, or what is the true answer? Mm-hmm. And in the pursuit of truth, we need to be able to open and get rid of our presuppositions,
mm-hmm,
in order to find the truth. And that sometimes is hard, no? What I like about math is that it's however you use it, if you just, you know, 1 plus 2 is 3, it's, mm-hmm, always 3 if whatever you use, apples, cars, cups, or tables, that is true.
Mm-hmm.
So if you just take out the tables and think about the math, mm, that is the idea. You gain the truth.
Yeah.
I think the same would apply to science, which is something that we will talk about later. But this is a very, you just get into the very important thing about math. No, math is an instrument that can help you find the truth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's a level of abstraction to it that you can see, oh, this, yeah, as you said, 1 plus 2 always equals 3. And even, I would say, even above science, there, math goes to a level of abstraction that can be abstracted above everything.
Yes.
It doesn't even matter what universe you're in, right?
Yes. Yes.
1 plus 2 is always going to equal 3.
3.
You know, you can imagine a universe where, you know, gravity pushes away and doesn't, uh-huh, pull in.
Yes.
But you can't imagine a universe where 1 plus 2 equals 5.
Exactly. Right? Right. Exactly. Exactly. Right. And there's another point. Math is so true that, let's take, for example, Newton's example. No? Newton, instead of our expanding world, if Newton have stick to his original equation, you remember, the force is a constant, then mass over d squared. If he has thought about that equation, he will discover that gravity is always bringing things together.
Mm-hmm.
No. But the universe is there, so he thought, oh, there must be something that, you know, that it's getting things apart,
mm-hmm,
that is contrarresting gravity. No. Mm-hmm. But he thought that because he has the supposition in mind that the universe is static, because in his lifespan, the universe, mm-hmm, hasn't changed.
Well, and from its perspective.
Exactly.
He's looking at it, at the world around him. And as far as our perspective of our planet,
yes,
it's static.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But what if he has thought, just, you know, he has go beyond his perception,
mm-hmm,
beyond his experiment, and he just put in the world of ideas and think, mm-hmm, about the math of what he has discovered. He may have asked the question, hey, if everything is so separate right now, will be there ever at a time when, you know, everything will be together?
Mm-hmm.
No? If he just think about that, maybe we'll have 200 years old about the Big Bang theory. I don't know.
Yeah.
He resists to that thought. And in his note of biography, he said that at some point, he said that there must be a force at a longer distance that counteracts that. No. So many other experiments. You remember also Albert Einstein, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he was trying, I think you gave me some book about it, and, mm-hmm, I was reading really interesting book. And in that book, Einstein mentioned that, you know, he was trying to look for, he was doing the general relativity,
mm-hmm,
and he was trying to look for equations on how to combine gravity and relativity.
Mm-hmm.
And just several years before, Riemann came with some equations about curve spaces.
Mm-hmm.
So, wow, that's nice. All the people around Riemann said, no. But how are you going to use that? Well, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But there's math.
Yeah.
Ready to predict something that, yeah, you know.
Yeah. Well, and as when we get into talking about science, you know, one character that we will talk about, and as you said, talking about that book with Einstein, mm-hmm. the other character in that book was Father George LaMontre,
yeah.
who was also a big physicist at the time, mm-hmm. Astrophysicist. But as you can see from the picture, he was also a Catholic priest.
Yes.
And he had his presuppositions of the universe as something that was finite in time, that had some sort of a beginning. And that idea drove a lot of his research. At the time, a lot of the scientists were very resistant to that idea of the universe having a beginning,
mm-hmm.
like you said with Newton. They had this idea that the universe was eternal, was always around, was static. And that idea that of a static universe drove a lot of their research, right?
Yes.
Well, and we're as you said before, we're jumping ahead of ourselves. But I think this is one of the directions that we're going in. As another teaser, that one of the words that we're going to be using a lot, I think, is the word transcendent.
Yeah.
This idea of there being a world above and beyond mm-hmm. what we can see. And coming back to Plato's cave, then, I mean, that was what Plato was really kind of hinting at, was this idea of leaving the cave, this idea of going into some sort of transcendence.
Yes, and I think that is exactly math, no? Something transcendent, something that it's always going to be there, immutable, ready for us humans to be used as what we need to use, no?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I really like that question: is math real, no? Mm-hmm. I agree with you. It's, you know, it's so reliable
mm-hmm.
that you use as an instrument to develop science.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Because you rely so heavily in the truth that math tells you, that you use as a basic instrument to do science.
Mm-hmm.
You know? There's no science without math.
Mm-hmm. You know?
But there can be math without science.
Mm-hmm.
You know that, no? There's a whole career. So math, like philosophy, it's something that is there, that can be achieved, but it's immutable, and that mm-hmm. belongs to this world of idea.
Yeah,
it won't corrupt. It won't change 2,000 years after, no. We for the basic math, for the 1 + 1 = 2, you know, probably the Egyptians or the Babylonians start with some basic mm-hmm. concept of math, and more than 2,000 years after, we're still using this basic concept, and yeah. we built on
yeah.
our math on that, no?
Yeah, how many other ideas that were developed over 2,000 years ago are we still using in its basic form?
Yes,
as it was discovered over 2,000 years ago, right?
Yes, exactly. I mean,
our science is light years beyond what people were looking at. You know, we look at the way that people saw the world 2,000, 3,000 years ago, with, you know, the Earth at the center, a very small universe,
uh-huh.
you know, and all the handful of planets in one sun orbiting around our Earth, you know, the Earth.
Yes, yes.
And even earlier than that, an idea that the Earth was just was flat, which I don't know if we want to, you know, go into that, you know, the flat Earth theories or not, at any point.
Well, that can be another discussion.
Yeah, yeah.
But now that you mentioned that, you know, there's this Greek person, Eratosthenes, hopefully that I say that word well in English too, but this is a Greek mathematician and philosopher, and he just thought, you know, there was Athens and there was I think Alexandria or any other city.
Mm-hmm.
So he realized whenever there's in Athens, you know, the sun is there and he mm-hmm. put a stick, there's no shadow. In Alexandria, there's a shadow there, mm-hmm. no? Mm-hmm. So how can this happen? No. And because of he observed that, and he used, you know, first of all, he started using his mind. That means philosophy. He started mm-hmm. thinking about that, no? And then, what about if the earth is not flat? What about if the earth is round? Can I measure it, mm-hmm. no? And then he used math and the angles, the property of angles, to discover the ratio, the radius of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the first attempt to measure. Mm. He was somehow close.
Because, yeah, I think he was only maybe like 100 or 200 miles off.
Exactly.
As far as the diameter.
I mean,
of the earth. That's amazing.
Considering the diameter of the earth, that's a very good estimate, I would say.
Yeah.
But again, he put his thought into math to get a very close approximation of what was the earth around. No, but that is how powerful math is.
Mm-hmm.
No?
Yeah. Well, we've had a number of teasers into future episodes today, but I think this is a good basis, it's a good start for. Not just is math real, but you know this question of what is real? What does it mean for something to be real?
Mm-hmm.
So, I think moving forward, we're going to be looking at in this conversation about math, but in general, philosophy is going to play a big part.
Yes,
in what we're talking about. But I think moving forward, thinking about math. We're definitely going to go into looking at different parts of the history of math.
Yeah.
And what else is next for this question of is math real?
So what else is there to think about math? You know, if we rely only on our senses and what we see, what we can experiment, this all, you know, is going to be degraded. You know, it's going to be changing time. It's going to be so we need something else, something that doesn't change. No, so in order to come at the conclusions, we need to use math mm-hmm. with that as a very reliable tool. We need to abstract, and when we use the abstraction, we mm-hmm. use math
mm-hmm.
in order to pursue the truth. And that's a very good point. Thank you for asking me that. I think as long as we pursue the truth, we cannot only rely on our senses.
Mm-hmm.
We need to think. That's philosophy, as you said. It plays a good point. But we need also a reliable instrument,
mm-hmm.
which is math.
Yeah. Well, so we've talked about the science. We've talked about the math. We've talked about the philosophy. What we haven't really mentioned yet, but this will definitely come into the picture at some point, is this question of faith.
Mm-hmm.
And it might have been hinted at here and there, but one of the directions we're going to go thinking about faith is there has to be some faith involved for something to make sense, right?
Yes.
If you know that here is the structure, and this is how it works, and it's how it's always worked, well, how can you can't prove that, right?
Exactly.
And you need to say, okay, well, I trust that this works and this will always work, and that's one of the things we're going to be thinking about in the future.
You know, that's a very good. We can expand a little more on that because. Even for an atheist, it requires faith
mm-hmm.
to do science.
Mm-hmm.
And why? Okay, I am an atheist. I don't believe in God, but I do believe that if I repeat this experiment, the world that I see is consistent.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. That experiment will when I repeat it, it will give me similar results
yeah.
to our
yeah.
previous experiment.
Yeah.
So the fact that this word, you know, the presupposition of every scientist, the presupposition is that there's an order in mm-hmm. this world, and by science, I will discover that order.
Yeah. yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, and that requires faith, of yeah. course.
Yeah. Well, as you see, you have two pretty big nerds here. and I hope you enjoyed this discussion, this beginning of this discussion of is math real, bringing in ideas of Plato, of philosophy. If this is something that interests you as well, please leave any questions you have in the comments. Follow us, mm-hmm. Subscribe to the channel, and I really encourage you also to share this video with all of your friends, your family. Use this as a starting off point for good discussions about math, about science, about philosophy, even about faith. And that's what we want to do. We want to have a discussion with each other, with you, about what is real.
Mm-hmm.
I think these are questions that almost everyone wrestles with at some point in their life.
Yeah.
And we want to be a part of that discussion.
Oh, definitely. And please, if you have, if you have any thought, if you see after seeing this video, if you have any thought that, I would like to challenge that, we love challenge.
Oh, absolutely.
Pose your question there.
Well, you can't experiment.
Yes.
If someone doesn't say, well, that's not how that works.
Yes.
You're like, oh, well, let me make sure.
Yeah.
Let me test that and
yeah.
see how that actually does work.
Exactly. Thank you, Seth.
Oh, thank you, Cesar.
It was a pleasure.
Awesome. Yes. Great conversation. Great beginning of a longer conversation.
Oh, definitely. Yes. Yeah.
And we will see all of you next week.
Bye-bye. System shut down.